I'm Dr. Brian Goldman, host of the CBC podcast, The Dose. Each week, we answer health topics in a smart and sometimes counterintuitive way you won't hear anywhere else. Like, what's the least amount of exercise I can do to get the benefits? Which psychedelics can improve my mental health? And how can I check for cancer if I don't have a family doctor? Top experts help me bring you what you need to know in plain language in about 20 minutes. Find The Dose on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hi, I'm David Common, sitting in for Ian Hennemansing this week. Welcome to Checkup's Ask Me Anything podcast. And today that means you're about to hear our AMA about car theft.
Last year in 2022, there was over $1 billion worth of vehicles that were stolen across Canada.
My Toyota SUV was stolen off, and the police told me that the VIN number was duplicated by a dishonest person at the garage who reproduced keys, and then they used the keys to open the door and drive the car away.
Much easier to sell 15 cars on the black market than it is to sell 15 keys of cocaine or 15 illegal guns.
Well, you've heard a few of the statistics on vehicle theft coming in this country during that intro. In Toronto alone, the number of vehicle thefts last year was triple what it was in 2015. The number of thefts recorded last year in Ontario and Quebec up nearly 50% compared to just the year before. And the national recovery rate for stolen vehicles in Canada, that's only about 57%. It's all the focus of this week's Ask Me Anything. Our AMA guest is Brian Gast. He is the Vice President of Investigative Services Division at Equité Association. It is an organization that investigates crimes on behalf of insurance companies, things like fraud, but also vehicle theft. And he's a former police officer with the Ontario Provincial Police. Here are a few highlights from that show. Glad to have you here, Brian. Okay, you and I have talked before because I, as a journalist, have done a fair bit of work on car thefts. And I know some of the answer to this question, but why is it that the last seemingly 3-4 years, auto theft has just completely taken off in this country?
Yeah, really, it's an issue that's happened over the last several years, really in the last 2 or 3 years. It's really taken a jump, really since COVID, where there's a supply chain issue, there's a lack of vehicles globally, and Canada started being targeted for their vehicles. Organized crime is largely behind it. A lot of our vehicles that are stolen in Ontario and Quebec are being stolen for export, and that's where you really see the significant jump.
Okay, and I know that because, as you know, I went off to the West African country of Ghana and found a whole bunch of cars that used to be in Canadian driveways on Canadian streets with Canadian drivers and got stolen and ended up there. That's just one of the countries they have ended up in. Why is it seemingly so easy when we look at these videos on YouTube and social media? People are stealing these cars in a matter of seconds. Why is it so easy?
Yeah, I mean, we look at the vehicles themselves. In 2007, vehicles, Transport Canada mandated that there be a standard for anti-theft devices in vehicles. At that time, thefts in Canada dropped dramatically. But since then, since 2007, criminals have been finding ways to find vulnerabilities in those technologies. So really, the vehicles that are at risk are most vehicles because it's push-to-start button vehicles using the technology to their advantage, looking for vulnerabilities, and then using the methods in which they steal them. We talked about this before. You did a great job with your report in Ghana, and a lot of those vehicles would be all the targeted vehicles that we're seeing every day, the SUVs, the pickup trucks, the luxury sedans. Those are what the market is overseas, and that's what's being stolen here in Canada. And they've had the tools, they have the technology, and they're getting faster and faster. What used to be done at 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning because they needed extra time, they are so efficient and quick at it now that they'll do it in broad daylight, and it just takes a mere seconds to do.
Okay, so this is a national show, but I know that those vehicles for export are being stolen primarily from cities that have access to a port. If they're being exported, they got to get to a ship, and so that means Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, Vancouver. What about thefts that are happening in other cities, in other areas?
Yeah, so a trend that we have been seeing, so even if you're not in the Ontario, Quebec region, we're starting to see these organized crime groups targeting vehicles in Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, and then taking different methods to get them to the eastern ports. Yes, they go out to the western ports too, but primarily the vehicles that we're seeing that are being exported, like Ghana, like West Africa, like Africa, Middle East, they are going out to the eastern ports. So again, those are I would say, the largest bucket of vehicles that are being stolen, but also the revinning. Revinning is an issue coast to coast, and it's where they're stealing vehicles, they're revinning, so putting a new vehicle identification number on the public locations, and then having that vehicle registered, and then either using it within their own organized crime group, or what's even more concerning is selling it to the unsuspecting consumer, where they think they're buying a good used vehicle when in fact it's a stolen vehicle that's tried to be legitimized through the revinning process, and the criminals will obviously profit off that. So it's a significant profit margin. And then, I mean, I would say the third bucket would be vehicles that are being stolen and stripped as parts. So at a chop shop, they're being stripped down, sold piece by piece, and again, very lucrative as well. So there's many reasons to steal vehicles. No longer is it just for the sake of a joyride. Yes, that still happens, but what's really jumped is these organized crime groups, professional criminals that are using vehicle crimes to further their criminal operations. I would never say that vehicle crime is just a property crime. It's a victimless crime. It's so much more than that. It's these organized crime groups are profiting significantly, and they're funding their criminal activities.
Yeah, $1 billion of vehicles just last year. Okay, I have a million more questions, Brian, that I would ask you, but that's not my job here. We should be getting to other people's questions, and I'm going to turn to that first question. Let's head to Whitehorse, Yukon, and talk to Kendra Morris, because that's not an area that you tend to hear about for theft for export. Kendra, what's your experience?
I got my car stolen July 5th, and I was lucky enough to get it back the next day out of gas.
Out of gas, okay. Any damage?
Not so much. They stripped all my... They took all my tools and, they left my radio. They took all my tools and all that, and they roughed it up pretty good, but it still drives, so...
It still drives, okay.
Yeah. And I'm a senior, so if I lost my car, I'd be walking the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's no good. And just to lose your tools, that's an inconvenience too.
Yeah. I had one door that wouldn't lock. It's now fixed. Keep your car locked. Don't leave anything in sight. And my car is 93, so they'll steal anything, you know?
Yeah. Well, you've kept it well, if that's the case. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. You know, Laura has texted us with a question, and a question that I have heard a lot since we started covering this story, that if the majority of vehicles are ending up on ships, why don't the Mounties and the insurance companies team up to see what gets on the ships? Now, that's Laura's question. I know you do actually do that, Brian, but there's still thousands of vehicles that are getting through and getting through quite quickly. Why can't it be stopped at the ports?
Yeah, and a lot of it comes to pure volume. The amount of commerce that's leaving the ports. We have very good relationships with the RCMP liaison officers, CBSA at the various ports. And it's just how can we support CBSA to be able to use it as a priority, vehicle crimes as a priority, provide the ability to collaborate, work together, private-public partnerships, just exactly like the questions asked, where you have the law enforcement, private industry, CBSA, with all our international partners, trying to curb this activity. Because, as you said earlier, it's seemingly so easy to get vehicles out of the country. So if we can shut down that supply and demand, that will go a long way to curbing some of these thefts for profit that are being exported.
Hey, my name's Jamie Poisson, and I'm the host of Front Burner. It's the CBC's daily news podcast. And every day we're discussing the big events and fault lines shaping Canada and the world. Politics, economics, social movements, you name it. Sometimes we even talk about really fun stuff, like the enduring relevance of Lord of the Rings. You can hear Front Burner on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go to Newmarket, Ontario. That's an area that has been hit an awful lot, particularly anywhere around the GTA and particularly around highways. Andrew Batachensky has a question. Hi, Andrew.
Hello.
I know you say you've tried the Faraday bag. That's the thing that's supposed to prevent the radio signal. Tell me, have you had much luck with it?
Let me tell you. So I read initially that York Regional Police has great initiative to distribute Faraday bags among households.
Yes, they were giving them away, yeah.
That's why I thought, why not to help York Regional Police and to come to their location and same time take one or two bags for my cars.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. All is good. Thank you very much, police. And same time, what I'm a little bit surprised that when I put my key fobs for my cars inside the Faraday bag and have it already, let's say, closed, engine can still start if Faraday bag is inside of the car. So just please explain how it works. I understand it should prevent radio signal to go out from inside the Faraday bag, but it looks like it works still perfectly.
Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Brian in a second, but just one follow-up, because I know the kind of model of the Faraday bags that the York Regional Police were handing out there. I assume you were closing the top of it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, of course. Okay, let me, Andrew, thank you for your call. Let me turn that to Brian. Faraday bags, Brian, that doesn't sound like it should be happening.
No, it doesn't. And it's a good consideration to make. And an assumption would be the bags that Peel Region was giving and York Region would be well tested and do what they do. And what you said about making sure the top was closed is a good reminder. If used properly and it's a quality Faraday pouch, it should not be able to emit anything. The vehicle should not start if you're in close proximity to it. But I say that as a cautionary tale that, again, everybody tries to make a buck whenever there's a crisis. And the number of Faraday pouches that are available online, some are no better than a paper bag. And be careful what you purchase. But the fact is, this one's from York Region. It should be one of the ones that is highly effective. But again, I haven't actually seen that one, and I'd have to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly that shouldn't be happening. But good that Andrew did the work there to see.
Yeah.
Because if you put the key in a Faraday bag and walk up to your car, and it's got the keyless entry, the moment you try to open your door, the door should not open. And if it does, then that Faraday bag is no good.
Correct.
Okay, so, you know, one thing when we have, in our own journalism here, looked at the vehicles that are being stolen, if I look in Ontario, for instance, the purely electric vehicles, almost none of them are being stolen. That is because of there's no market for them in some of the countries that they're being exported to. There's no charging infrastructure, so they're not necessarily being stolen. But we're also seeing interesting trends around vehicles that have keys to start them, that those too don't seem to be stolen as much. I mean, we've got the convenience, Brian, of keyless entry, keyless start, just push to start and all of that. But you talk to vehicle manufacturers. Are they thinking that convenience is coming at a cost?
Yeah, I mean, convenience is definitely something that consumers want. And I think there's alternatives to make the vehicle still harder to steal. I go back to my early days in policing, so it'd be after 2000 or 1989, where vehicles were stolen, just had a key. Again, there's ways to do it. You just break the steering column and you use a screwdriver to steal the car. So there's still ways to do that. So I'm not suggesting that we go back to the key, but I think the manufacturers can do more to be able to make it harder to steal.
Like what's one thing?
Considerations.
What's one thing they could do?
Well, basically, a vehicle now is a one big computer. So making authentication to make sure that you know. There's sort of like a computer where you need a passcode to be able to get that. Without that passcode, you can't start the car.
Mm.
And I've always said that you spend $70,000, $80,000 on a vehicle, and then you still have to get an aftermarket immobilizer that protects against relay attacks, CAN bus attacks, and relay attacks. And having those protections in the vehicle OEM would go a long way, so the consumer isn't burdened with extra cost to protect their own vehicle after they just bought a new vehicle.
Okay, you know, if you're buying it online, I guess online reviews, as much as you can trust them, are the things to rely on. Unfortunately, as Brian says, there are garbage ones out there on the market. If you buy it from a store and it's no good, like, test it right away. If it's no good, take it back. Okay, let's go to Mississauga, Ontario, another area that is hit hard. Peel Regional Police, which police that area, one of the, you know, the leading police agencies in the country in terms of their understanding of auto theft and their ability to combat it. Aftab Khan, though, your father-in-law had his car stolen, and you did something to that car before it was stolen. Tell me about that.
That's correct. Yeah, so last year in wintertime, yeah, we were visiting my father-in-law's house, and he, you know, I gave him an Apple AirTag as a gift, and I told him to put it in the car because I knew there, you know, these Toyota cars were being stolen. And we did that, and he had it on for a couple of months or so. And then we were coming, we had a good night's dinner, and then the next day, the car was gone. And then by the time we saw where the Apple AirTag was, it was already on its way to Montreal, Quebec area, and we couldn't retrieve the car.
Yeah, and presumably getting on a ship. So this
This
is quite something. It's got to be, after have quite frustrating that you know where the car is, you know that it's likely heading for a ship, and once it's on that ship, it's pretty well gone. But boy, is that frustrating. You told the police, and yet they still weren't able to stop it.
No, they couldn't. They couldn't do anything because it was outside of Ontario at that time. So, you know, they were like, "Oh, we'll reach out to Quebec police or whoever is local police there," and then we couldn't do anything. And I mean, I did have a question for Brian as well. We're back to shipping for a car again. So does he recommend getting Toyotas again, or do we ship for like a Kia or something?
Okay, Aftab, I'm going to put that question to Brian.
Sure.
And Brian, I think part of the reason, so it's a Toyota that got stolen. Toyotas are highly sought in many of these destination countries, these receiving countries. Toyota, Lexus have been stolen quite a bit. What do you think when you're looking to buy a car? Do you review those most stolen brands?
Yeah, and we're coming up to our annual top 10 list, and the top 10 stolen vehicles nationally and regionally. And I always recommend consumers look at that and make an informed choice as to the likelihood that their vehicle may be stolen. And I think that's a good consideration to make. And they do change. They do bounce around. There's always some ones that are consistently in the top 10, but they change as manufacturers work to find remedies. There's still a number of vehicles that are continue to be in the top 10 that hopefully will change. I do want to comment about that AirTag. I think that's a great idea. We're working to get better. We're working to collaborate multi-jurisdictionally with the CBSA law enforcement and our organization to be able to locate a lot of those trackers, whether it be an aftermarket or an OEM or a AirTag. But I always give the caution, don't track it yourself. Make sure you turn that information over to police, because that information may fit very, very well with other information, and never put yourself in harm's way to retrieve your vehicle. That's just a disaster that's potentially could happen.
Okay. Brian Gass from Equité. We're talking about auto theft. We got less than a minute left here, so I'm going to just ask one thing from you more, and that is, this is obviously a complex problem, but what needs to happen to make a real dent in this growing problem?
Yeah, so that is a complex problem, and it's a complex answer, but really limiting the vehicles that are exporting. So again, doing what we can do to support the CBSA, public safety, making it a priority, that would really shut down the demand. If vehicles aren't as easily remedied or being able to be exported, that goes a long way. And I think the enforcement, with the government of Ontario recently adding the provincial auto theft team with dedicated prosecutors And then these criminals will be tried for the seriousness of these vehicle crimes as opposed to just a property crime. I think that's a significant deterrent as well. So really adding deterrence criminally, as well as making it harder to get the vehicles out of the country and having the vehicle itself harder to steal in the first place is a great place to start.
All right. And we will leave it there. Brian Gass from Equite, thank you so much. That was a portion of Cross Country Checkup's AMA about auto theft with Brian Gast. He's the Vice President of Investigative Services Division at Equite Association. If you'd like to listen to yesterday's full two-hour edition of Cross Country Checkup, you can stream the podcast on the CBC Listen app. And if you want to share comments or appear on the show, just go to cbc.ca/aircheck. I'm David Common. Thanks for listening. The next live edition of Checkup airs on CBC Radio, CBC News Network, and CBC News Explore. That is next Sunday.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.